Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Personal responsibility is the title of what I'm talking about this evening. We are at a time in America where I just believe we need to sound some alarms. I believe that the only way that this country will turn in any way, shape, or form is going to be a result of what's preached from the pulpit of the churches here in the United States of America. And so I hope that you never get tired of me talking about it. And if you do, get over it, because I'm not going to quit. So it's important that we take responsibility for what's going on. It's only the church's responsibility to teach morality. Understand that. Now, it's the Christian's responsibility to live it, but it's the church's to teach it. And so that's what we've got to be doing here in America. You know, if Christians would just take responsibility, personal responsibility, for day in, day out, what things are going on in our world, this is a really big topic, but I believe we could turn this country around like that. If Christian people would just take responsibility, since 1973, we have murdered 58 million babies through abortion. And at the rate we're going, in less than 2 years, we'll hit 60 million. If this happens, I want you to hear a statistic that just is shocking. We will have murdered 10 times more human beings than the number of Jews that were murdered by the Nazis. Just let that soak in for a second. If at the rate we're going, we will have taken 10 times the lives the Nazis took here in the United States of America. So, well, Pastor, that's great. Well, what do I do? I mean, we've got to right this wrong now. We can't wait another day. We need to right it. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm here to tell you. You can vote in candidates that support life. That's what you can do. Vote in candidates that support life. See, if they think that they have one organism on another planet that says there must be life on that planet, what do you call a baby in the womb? I mean, that's just a quick argument to make real quick. I mean, there's a bunch of organisms in that baby in a womb, so if we're going to say there's life on another planet because we find an organism, but we're not going to call a baby in the womb life, we've got a problem. And so the idea that the eagle and the eggs of an eagle have more protection than the life of a baby in a mom, in the womb, that just don't make any sense to me at all. We've got to take some responsibility here and quit voting for candidates that don't support life. We got to take some responsibility. You know, we're frustrated about the Ten Commandments, yet we don't have them hanging in our home and in our offices, and many Christians can't even quote all of them. We're frustrated with the Bible and prayer being taken away from our schools and our courthouses. But yet, it was an easy thing to take away because we weren't doing it anyway. It wasn't there. I mean, we weren't really operating that way. See, Christians daily reading and praying, where the world sees that we're serious about our Bible. We're serious about our prayer life. See, we're frustrated about working next to a Muslim who comes in, and don't think, well, that's just not me. That's right here in our own church. We've got someone who has mentioned, I work every day with a Muslim, and he comes in and brings his mat, and he prays during the day right next to, and we got people that are frustrated about that. Here's the deal. How many Christians are bringing their Bible and spending time in prayer at work? We can be just as frustrated as we can at them, but what are we doing to show our devotion to Christ? Are we taking responsibility for the life that we say we want? We're wanting here in America. Here's the thing. When you don't take personal responsibility, then you say, I'm not mature enough to handle that responsibility. Really, we don't expect our kids to take much responsibility in certain areas. They don't pay the bills. Here, my 5-year-old, here's the checkbook. I want you to pay the bills this month. Well, I just can't handle that responsibility. And everybody knows that, so they don't give their child the checkbook. Everybody gets that. So we're not going to give. Responsibility should coincide with maturity. The reason why Christians have lost their stance is because we have lost the ability to mature ourselves in the Word. And so we've got a bunch of Christian people who are out there and say they're a Christian, but they're not walking in the maturity of a Christian enough to take responsibility for how we need to be acting and how to bring a Christian value and perspective to our work atmosphere, to our homes, to our schools, to our courthouses. And so what has happened, because Christians can't take the responsibility, the government has taken so many responsibilities for us. And it's not just in the spiritual realm. This is just in life. People can't be trusted anymore. We can't trust people to handle a hot cup of coffee at McDonald's. I mean, it's just sad. So we got to put warning labels now on everything. Warning labels. Are you kidding me? Some of the warning labels that we have. I mean, I always like reading them. Everything you can imagine has one. And I mean, because we're in a culture who doesn't take responsibility for themselves. And if we can't take responsibility, see, there's a personal responsibility you've got to learn to walk in. But know this, if you don't, the government will take care of you. That's why we have all these warning labels. Just Google ridiculous warning labels and you'll be amazed at what all pops up. I could have read hundreds of them tonight. I brought a few of them because they're funny to me. And if they're not, just behoove me and laugh with me, all right? Here's the thing. This product, Nitol sleeping pills, warning label, may cause drowsiness. On a hair dryer, do not use while sleeping or in the tub. Vanishing fabric markers should not be used as a writing instrument for signing checks or any legal documents. On the warning label. You can see pictures of this online. I'm not. A rotary Dremel tool. Have you ever seen them? You know, that etch things in. This product is not intended for use as a dental drill. Whoo. On a scooter that was bought, this product moves when used. No kidding. On a can of peanuts, warning, allergy advice, contains peanuts. Here's one of my favorites. On a clothes iron, warning, do not iron while wearing shirt or pants. On a chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with hand. I know people that have, so I understand that one a little more. On a Superman costume, this will not enable your child to fly. Just in case you were wondering. On a microwave, warning, do not use for drying pets. You didn't know that, did you? See, now you do. Why do they have to put these on there? Because somebody was not taking personal responsibility. I mean, that's just the easiest way to say it. I mean, and they took the company to court and cost them thousands of dollars. And I don't know if they won or not, but the company just said, we're not fighting this again. Let's just put it on the warning label. And the government has backed them up and said, it's a good idea. But see, the thing is we're just encouraging no personal responsibility. We're leaving the personal responsibility to someone else for our life. And if you do that long enough, you're in trouble. Life and responsibility should be taught, should be understood by our kids. Parents, you got 18 years to produce responsibility. You got 18 years. The trash in the house needs taken out. Our parents tried that with us. And I thought it was her job and she thought it was mine. You might want to just say it's whichever job that sees that the trash is full. That way you can still walk out the door where the trash is, because there was a time in our marriage that we let the trash get so full we couldn't get out the door. Because I thought it was her job. See, we never took personal responsibility. I just said, well, she'll finally get to it and she wants to get out that door. She's thinking, I'm good. That's what she was thinking. Of course, I was too. We're not talking about marriage retreat stuff right now, but you got to learn to take some personal responsibility. The car, the levels of your oil need checked. The gas isn't just a suggestion when it gets to the E mark. See, there's got to be some personal responsibility taught. The be kind, open the door for people. You know, that's a big deal. Take some personal responsibility. Dads, teach your kids to open the door for people when they're walking in a store. Here, come over here and grab this. Help people in need. It's your responsibility to pay your own bills and your housing. Being responsible goes along with life, and we're losing that. Come on, church, we're losing that in the United States of America. And I say, I used to think that was just in the big cities. I was appalled when I'd go to a big city and see the way people acted. You know, right now it's happening in Clever. I see it all over. People not taking responsibility. Like no other time before, we're living in a culture that nobody thinks of anything but themselves, and themselves are, they're saying everybody else take care of me because they're not taking care of themselves. Young people getting married and having no responsibility for the other person and helping take care of them and live life together. See, God created man to tend the garden. Tending means you take responsibility. You take responsibility for your call here in this life. And you live daily knowing that there's a call on your life. The fact that you are here means that you have to learn responsibility. The fact that you're here. And a lot of you are saying, well, come on, Pastor, I know all this. If you're an employee, you need to know that they would not have hired you if you weren't needed. Therefore, never live thinking they don't even know if I'm here or not. They know you're here. They wouldn't have hired you if they didn't know that you were needed. See, so live with that awareness and live being counted on. No one taking responsibility to get their job done. Well, that's not my job. That's not in my job description. And then we've got all these people that nobody sees it in their job description, so the trash don't get taken out. Calling in sick every time you have a hangnail. Somebody's got to take some responsibility for some stuff around here. See, talking about this tonight, and it's a good time to talk about it. Our government has gotten involved with something they should have never gotten involved with. And they have taken some responsibility off of the hands of the church that was the church's responsibility. The biblical command for our government, know this, is to keep people safe. To keep people safe. That's the biblical command for the government, is to keep people safe. And then understand this. If they can just get a hold of that, then the money we pay in should go to the military. Our road systems for safety should be taken care of so that we are being kept safe from our outer areas. See, that's what they should be doing. That's the biblical command. Protected from outside sources. They don't need to be protecting us from a hairdryer. I'm amazed by this. Free enterprise should take care of everything else. That company gets sued enough, there'll be another company that starts to make a hairdryer. But we don't need the government protecting that business. If they can't keep enough cars in production and make them good enough, then they just need to go out of business. We don't need a government. Well, Pastor, I just can't believe that's not your business to be talking about. Absolutely it is. It's right out of the Bible. The government is to take care of our safety. See, as long as our people are protected, they'll produce everything they need to produce. And the ones who aren't producing at the level they need to will go out and someone else will come in. But free enterprise will balance it out. It'll take care of it. Now, there are times in life that people need some help. Please understand this. Michelle and I have been there. There were times in our lives that we needed some help. And I praise God for people that were there to help. The Bible gives clear direction on who needs help and how we help them. But know this, it never gives the government the responsibility to take care of people that are in need of financial assistance or help. The local government has gotten involved with trying to help. And the Bible in Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians say it's the Christian's responsibility. Here's why we're talking about this today. Because it's against God's plan for the government to be aiding people in the way that they're aiding them, and it needs to be given to the church. The problem is it'll never be given to the church if we don't bring church people into leadership. First words God spoke to man was, be fruitful. Be fruitful. That's a really big deal. We're here to make this earth produce. So that's what we're here to do. So know this. We're here to provide an opportunity for God's plan to grow, and we're the ones that make that happen. We're to be fruitful. We are never to provide an opportunity for someone to not work. We're not ever here to provide that opportunity. We're here to provide an opportunity so they don't have to work. That's never what we're doing. We're here to provide an opportunity to be fruitful for people, to show them how they can be fruitful. That's the point. That's what God said. See, we need to take this out of our vocabulary. It's free. We just need to get that out of our vocabulary. Nothing is free. Somebody, somewhere, somehow paid the bill for the lights to be on. Somebody, somehow paid when you go home tonight for the bed that you're getting ready to sleep in. Somebody did. And you got to know that. There's no free lunch. Obviously, you've heard that phrase 100 times. But health care, housing, it's not free. It costs to provide these things. And to think for a second that you can get it free is wrong thinking. Somebody paid for it. So let's do all that we can to be fruitful so that we can be a producer, not a taker. The second thing that we need to get out of our vocabulary is that the government is paying for it. The government has no money. The government has no money. None. You made $100 and then you got your check back and it said 74. How many have seen? I remember my first job. Then I filled out my little information so they could take taxes out of my paycheck. Has anybody remember their first paycheck that they got and taxes were taken out of it? Oh, man. I thought you said you were paying me $100. I did. Well, this check only says 74. Well, because taxes had to come out. I didn't ask you to take taxes out of my check. I mean, that was my thought. Who told them that? I didn't give that permission. How many times has something been taken out of your wallet and you didn't give permission and you were okay with it? The first check I got, and about everyone since then, they've taken it out and I've never given them permission. But that's what happens. Things are taken without permission. And so you think the government's paying for it? No, I did. And if you've ever had one of those checks that they said it was going to be, here's what you're getting paid weekly, and you never got paid that's because you paid for it too. See, the government doesn't pay for anything. We do. Are y'all getting this tonight? I think it's just real important that we understand that the idea that the government is paying for anything is ludicrous. People pay taxes quarterly, monthly, annually, or out of every check. And see, at one time, the government decided that they were going to start helping people out. And the problem is that we're okay with that if we keep electing those that make those decisions in there. So we've got to get to the point where we know what people are voting for. And the first point that you can know, and everything else will fall in line after that, if they don't vote for life, they won't vote for anything else in the Bible. So the quickest way, David Barton will tell you this, and we teach and speak a lot from his teachings. And here's the thing. He says very clearly, I can tell you every issue they stand for after I find out what they believe about life. If they're for life, they'll be for most everything else that we believe biblically. And we've got a problem here going on if we think for a second that we're going to be able to go against the word and be fruitful. Because fruit comes only from the word of God. See, we have an online form now for those that are without a job, because we're going to help people that don't have a job with a paycheck. And I've been there, so I'm grateful that I was there at one point. But here's the thing. During that time, I had the wrong mindset that the government was paying it. But here's what I had to do. I at least had to go out when I didn't have a job and go in and prove to them that I was looking for a job. I had periodic dates. I had to go step down. Here's where I'm looking for a job. I'm trying to find a job. And here's the stuff that proves that I did. You know, now they don't even have to prove that. They don't have to show that they've made any attempts. There's no proof that has to be given. Financial aid for those that are unable to find a job was never meant to be a lifestyle. It was never meant for that. See, I had a dad who lent me money to help pay for our first child. And I'm grateful that I had a dad that was able to do that, because I don't know if Ashlyn would have made it if I hadn't had it. She'd have been here one way or the other. I'm sure it was God's plan. But the problem was, is I didn't know what we were going to do financially, but I had a dad who stepped up, and I'm grateful for that. But I knew that I was going to pay that back, and I worked hard getting that paid back as quick as I could. It was a mindset that I'm grateful that I've had people in my life to help, but my goal was to get to a place where I could one day be that person who was able to help. And I think that's the difference. It's all right to be someone who receives some help. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to hear that. But work hard to get to the place where you are the one who provides the help, instead of making it a lifestyle of having to be the one that gets help all the time. See, God never intended for strong, healthy people to be takers from the environment and not producers. God never intended that. I just think it's important that we get a hold of that truth. 51 million people in the U.S. are receiving government aid. 51 million. And it's all being given to get them back on their feet. Here's my problem with some of what's happening. We have a thing called an EBT. It's an electronic benefit transfer. And what it is, for those that are in need of government funds for assistance, they get a card that they can use to swipe for food or things that they're in need of. Do you know that card can be used at Starbucks, in Target? You can pay $7 for a mocha and a pumpkin loaf. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm just throwing that out because I'm blown away that they're going to use funds not from the government, from me and you, to buy some. There ought to be a little thing that says, no Starbucks. We put warning labels on everything else. Let's put it on that. See, you can go on Craigslist and sell that card to someone else for cash so that they can go get some drug money. You can go buy gourmet cupcakes. See, as long as it's considered food, you can use the cards as bail money. You can use these cards for lobster. As long as it's not alcohol or tobacco, you can use these cards. You can use the cards. There are ways that you can use them to buy lottery tickets. I don't understand that. I was just reading about this. You can go to Disney World with these cards and buy food. Come on, church, there's a problem here. What's going on here? We're not voting for those that support life. So therefore, everything else is out of order. Everything else is out of order. See, it's not God's purpose. Being productive will give you a high and a purpose in life like no drug or no government aid will ever produce for you. Man was created to be perfect, and whoever said that we're only supposed to work Monday through Friday and one job, the way I see it is from daylight until dark, and you work hard, and if you don't have enough money with one job, go get two. There's a time I had three. Three jobs I was working. And I still have several other things besides preaching that I do. Why? Because I think it's important that there's a stream of income coming into our home day in and day out. I just think it's important. We as members of the body of Christ, we need to get to the point where we're the ones being the helpers. But when we're the takers all the time, how are we to produce and to preach this message? Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you're wondering when I was ever going to get to a Bible verse, I'm there. Deuteronomy 22, and I'm not just starting, I'm getting closer to ending. Closer, yeah, I'm not there yet. Deuteronomy 22. I know it is in my Bible. 22, verse 1, let's read. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep or goat wandering away, don't ignore your responsibility. Take it back to its owner. If its owner does not live nearby or you don't know who the owner is, take it to your place and keep it until the owner comes looking for it. Then you must return it. Do the same if you find your neighbor's donkey, clothing, or anything else your neighbor loses. Don't ignore your responsibility. If you see that your neighbor's donkey or ox has collapsed on the road, don't look the other way. Go and help your neighbor get it back on its feet. I think it's real important that we understand what this scripture is saying. It's really, really important. If you're not aware, when you see this and pay attention, you have to understand there's a responsibility for not just you in this life. There's not just you that you need to be concerned with. You have responsibilities, whether you know it or not, that are biblical. And when you said, I'm a Christian, I'm going to live life according to the word, right now I'm teaching you something maybe nobody knew. It's not just about you, that's about others. And don't be thinking for a second that you're thinking, well, I hope somebody hears that and comes to my aid. You're not who I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about taking responsibility for others, not hoping they'll take it for you. Take responsibility for others. I didn't put that trash in there and I'm not taking it out. Come on, everybody stop that before. I didn't dirty those dishes and I'm not about to wash them. Getting real quiet. Now, not hardly any of those clothes are mine. Somebody else can wash them. Moms, I don't know if you've ever thought that or not. Wash your body. They just wear it. Good grief, they can wear it more than 5 minutes. If they did the laundry, they'd wear them longer. I'm just saying, we just think of ourselves so often, it's hard. It's hard sometimes. If they had to change the oil, they'd drive less. Come on, some of us guys. Believe how much money they spend at the grocery store. I like to eat, but I could go on a diet if I just we'd save some money. It's ridiculous how much. But what we're doing is, I didn't throw that. I'm not the hired hand around here. I'm not my brother's keeper. Here we go. It may not be your job, but it's your responsibility. It may not be your job, but is it your responsibility? It is if you get a hold of Deuteronomy 22. See, we've now created a system where it's possible in some situations for you to make more money by producing nothing than making money going out and See, you're not producing anything. There's no fruit, but you're making more money. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know, in 11 states, welfare recipients make more than teachers do? Here in the United States of America. In 39 states, they make more than secretaries do. 39 states out of 50 here in the United States of America, 39 of them, welfare recipients make more than secretaries do. What a sad day. And they're producing nothing. In fact, the secretaries are helping pay for a very small portion of their salaries. There's a reason this has happened. There's more dependence on self and the government than there is in the freedom to be associated with the worship and the things of God. It's more about flesh than it is spirit. And when we're trying to satisfy the flesh every time you turn the corner and we've left the Spirit of God, we lose the principles of the Spirit of God out. Are you seeing that? That's what's happening. There's a reason to pursue a dependency on the government, and it's called socialism. Now, I'm just going to say this real quick, and you can take it and do what you want with it. But we have someone now running for president who will tell you out of his own mouth that he is a socialist. Now, I'm just telling you, you better watch out here. There's a reason to pursue a dependency on the government, and that's called socialism. Liberty and happiness is gone when more and more people depend on the government for their food and their way of life. See, if the church doesn't stand up and say it's not God's plan and teach personal responsibility, you can know the world won't. So don't get frustrated with the world and don't get frustrated with the way they think. It's just not biblical. So don't get frustrated with that. Just vote them out and get somebody who thinks biblical. That's what's got to happen. That's what we got to start doing. If you're not aware of history, then you'll see what happens when the government starts controlling our food supply. I've read Exodus. How about you? See, we need to know God's children lost their freedom because they couldn't buy their food themselves. That's real. That's what happened. When the government started feeding them, they became enslaved to Pharaoh. That's what see, because he was in charge of all the food for all the people. So Moses went in and said, "Let my people go that we may worship God." When food was controlled, hear this, when food is controlled, worship is controlled. Well, when you hear the word personal responsibility, it is giant. When food is controlled, you can just know real quick, worship will be controlled. Moses went in and said, "Let my people go, not so that we can provide our own food, but let my people go so we can worship God." It was already understood that they controlled the food. And that's why they left, and they got a dependency upon God instead of a dependency upon the government, instead of a dependency upon Pharaoh. And when they left, what happened? God supplied every need. But it's when their dependency was on him. God took them to a land that was possible for them to then provide their own food, their own housing, and take care of the world. See, that's what he outlined. Matthew 13, they look but they don't see, they hear but they don't listen. See, you're ironing a shirt while it's on you. Hello? You're ironing a shirt while it's on you? Now, I will be honest, I've tried it. And I'm one of the reasons that that probably is on there. There were times on the bus that I'd pull a shirt out of the closet and it had a crease in it. And I'm like, and now I'm going to have to buy one of these. And I'd pull it out of the closet and have a crease on it. And so I'd be like pulling it out like this and I'm ironing. And then I'd forget that I got to suck in my belly, you know, and I'd let it out. Woo! And anybody ever done that? No, don't admit to it. I'm just telling you. But you'll get burned once and then you quit doing that. Or maybe two or three times, but you'll learn your lesson. You get married and have somebody else who can help you with ironing. Just kidding. Taking personal responsibility right now. The world's taking no responsibility. And I don't want the government taking it for me. Come on, that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat." Let me say that one more time. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Well, if we just listened to the Bible, we'd have a lot of things taken care of. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. Work. Work is not a four-letter dirty word. Young people, hear that today. Work is not a bad word. And the quicker you get into your system that you can be a worker and you can be excited about work, then you can be a producer and then you can have life. And the Bible says life more abundant because it's a biblical principle. Ephesians 4:28, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work and then give generously to those in need. Don't be a thief. We're to be givers. You got to work to do that. Work is not evil. Pursuing money apart from serving and giving and working is against the principles of the Bible. Pursuing money apart from that. See, pursuing money apart, well, how do you do that? How do you pursue money apart from serving, giving, and working? Play the lottery. That's pursuing, I'm just telling you, that's pursuing money apart from serving, giving, and working. Playing the lottery. Some people are like, let's talk about something else. Stealing, let me just give you the definition of stealing. It means getting something without giving anything. Lottery tickets and gambling are wrong. It's a desire to get without giving. And this mentality does not produce prosperity. I don't care how big the jackpot is. That just means your chances of losing are way higher. That's the way I see it. See, it's a desire to get without giving, and this mentality will never produce prosperity. Proverbs 20:21 could be your verse. Well, Pastor, read me a verse. All right, I'm doing it right here. An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. It's against the Word of God. 1 Timothy 5 give commands on who needs help. Some is the church's responsibility. Some responsibility is given to the believer. Some is to the individual. I mean, you can read all about it. When you take care of godly education, God created this world. And when you take education and take God out of it for a couple of generations, then we will end up producing a mentality in our young people that people are no different than an animal. It won't take very long, because if you take God out of it, then we just all evolved in here. What's the difference in me and a mule? Don't answer that question, but I mean, I'm just saying. Animals that are not out running wild are either in a farm or they're in a zoo. Now, I want you to listen to this. It's the zookeeper's job to divide out all the food to each animal and tell each one what they need. It's the zookeeper's job. See, they're in charge of the vet care or health care. That's what the zookeeper does. The zookeeper is in charge of the environment. In fact, if they don't get the environment right, everybody dies, and that's what they tell everybody. So they got to really watch the environment. Are you? Well, I'm telling you, it's pretty crazy when you start thinking about this. I don't get in my car, and I don't have the decision whether I want to buckle up or not. Because if I don't, everybody in the car is yelling at me. And you know why? Because there's a bell and they're going ding, ding, ding. And I can pretty much just ignore it, just like the nurses in the hospital can ignore those ding, ding, dings. But I mean, I'm ding, ding. My wife came home from the hospital last night and she said, I still hear all those sounds, ding, ding, ding. Well, you get to the point where you're around it enough that you just ignore it. And that's what I have got in the car, just ignore that ding, ding, ding. But everybody in there can't. Well, put that seatbelt on. Well, why are they yelling? Because the dinger's going off. Why is the dinger going off? Because the government said you have to wear your seatbelt. Now, I'm not getting on anybody's case on whether or not you should wear a seatbelt. Obviously, if you want to live, it would be wise with some of the other drivers that are out there. I don't decide whether or not I want to roll my back window all the way down or not in the car. It'll only go partial. Come on, y'all know them. The back windows, they only go part way down. I don't have a decision on that. I don't decide when I get on a motorcycle, when I own one here in Missouri, of whether or not I'm going to wear a helmet or not. I have to, because I have to. See, I don't decide when I put her in park and take off. I don't have a choice of whether my doors stay locked or not. They just lock. All my cars, they just do that. You put that thing in drive, all the doors lock. Why? Because I got somebody looking out for me. I'm no different than an animal. And I got a zookeeper. Protecting my environment, everything I do. Wanting me to sign up for health care because I can't take care of it myself. So I've got to obviously, that's the vet care and the zoo's real good. So I just sit there and I start thinking about this and I'm going, hello. We're not an evolved creature that needs to be put in a zoo. Come on, church. We're children of Almighty God. And when you get a hold of that and you know that, you live different. See, you need to see for yourselves that you don't stop the chain on a chainsaw with your hand. You don't need a government warning you that. You need to know that you don't do that. And that ought to be taught. You ought to be smart enough. You ought to know the coffee's hot. You ought to know that the shirt shouldn't be ironed on your belly. You ought to know that. And if you don't, you'll learn it because we're smart. God put us a brain in us, and we don't need being in a zoo and a zookeeper taking responsible. 1 Corinthians 13:11, last verse, and I close. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, when I matured, when I became a man, I put away childish things. When are we going to do that? When are we going to put away? You know, I used to speak, I used to think, and I used to reason as a child. But at some point, we got to get mature. We need to grow up right here in the United States of America, some biblical thinkers. And that's only going to happen in the church. And I thank you for being here tonight and maturing yourself in the Word and becoming a biblical thinker. Now let's vote in some people who believe in life and life more abundant.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.